Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, July 18th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 33. We're going to read that first full paragraph beginning with, "This case contains," ending with, "that someday we will be immune to alcohol." We are reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Kara L. reading the text, Sherry Z. reading page 164, and Kelly L. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Alex K., and announcements will be Leslie M. The reference ID number for yesterday, Wednesday, July 17th, 2024, is 21,582 or 21582, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,584 or 21584. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Jan L. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you all for your service. This is Jan L. in Florida, a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take a personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jan L. And I will now ask Bev M. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you and pass.
Well, thank you so much, Bev M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're on page 33, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "This case contains," ending with, "that someday we will be immune to alcohol." Reading and commenting on just that one paragraph this morning. And I will now ask Kara L. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. This case contains a powerful lesson. Most of us have believed that if we remained sober for a long stretch, we could thereafter drink normally. But here's a man who, at 55 years, found that he was just where he had left off at 30. We had seen the truth demonstrated again and again. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Commencing to drink after a period of sobriety, we are in short time as bad as ever. If we are planning to stop drinking, there must be no reservation of any kind, nor any lurking notion that someday we will be immune to alcohol. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And quite a paragraph. I remember in the days before I was recovered, this thought would pass my mind. Like, you know, and all those diets and all those special, you know, gimmicks that I tried that worked. And then they always told me, okay, you've lost the weight now, go back to eating, you know, moderate. Well, if I truly believe that I am a compulsive eater of the hopeless variety, there is no moderation in my vocabulary. I am very black and white, so either I'm all in or I'm all out, right? There's no gray or middle ground for me. And so I have to have the help from a power greater than myself, because I know that I am not immune to my alcoholic foods, and I also know that I can't stop eating without the help of a higher power. You know, I have to just trust and say, I can't do this. Higher power, I need help. I don't know how to do this. You know, because left to my own designs, food is difficult, life is difficult, things are complex. When I truly, truly work these steps, and I continue to work them every single day, and I continue to keep my head down in the steps, and I connect with a power greater than myself, life gets simple. And I know today that, you know what, once a compulsive overeater, I will always be a hopeless compulsive overeater. And truthfully, there's freedom in that today. I have so much more freedom knowing that about myself, knowing that there is a place that will help me. Steps, there are fellows, and there are my higher power. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Kara L. Great way to get us started. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day, in order that others might share their experiences too. If you share it on Tuesday or Wednesday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share today. I'll remind you with the timer when the time is up. And what we'll do now is get our first lineup, and please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Wendy B in Arizona.
Laura W from New Jersey. I've got Karen and Wendy B. I heard Chanel T. And who was before Chanel T?
Laura W from New Jersey.
Hey, Laura, gotcha.
Joan Marie M from Nevada.
I've got you, Joan Marie.
Thank you.
Janice PM from Massachusetts.
I've got you, Janice.
Thank you.
Sherry Z from Los Angeles.
Okay, Sherry, gotcha. All right, so here's what I have. I have Karen KZ, Wendy B, Laura W, Chanel T, Jo Marie M, Janice PM, and Sherry Z. And please let us know where you're calling from when it's your turn, and we'll start with Karen KZ, followed by Wendy B.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, recovering compulsive overeater. I love this reminder in this paragraph. You know, I'm never done. I will always be a compulsive eater. I cannot ingest certain ingredients. And I must rely on a power greater than myself. I think the greatest part of this program for me, as many people have shared, it's not abstinence. The greatest part is the deepening relationship and the reliance I have on God. But anyway, I want to address this whole thing about that the thing our disease tells us, you know, it's really okay. You don't really have to write your food down. You really don't have to weigh and measure. You're doing really well. You know what you're doing. And you have this great relationship with God, so that's not a problem for you. And the truth of the matter is, I have to do every single thing that keeps me recovered every single day without exception. And I got a little sloppy during the kitchen remodel, and I went out and had some French fries, which were not on my list, but I ate them compulsively. And I got to see the disease at work and know there's always new things. But the fact that there's nothing that can keep me from eating exactly what I need to eat. I have to go to any lengths to do that. And I'm grateful to say that it isn't worse than ever. Immediately, when I admitted it and was honest about it, and I admitted it to other people, I got right back on doing everything I need to do. I need to sponsor. I need to do everything I need to do every single day. And that's true with my physical therapy exercises or with any brushing my teeth, whatever else. The things that keep me recovered are just as important as that. So anyway, I'm just so grateful for this meeting, and I'm grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Karen KZ from Missouri. Next, we've got Wendy B, followed by Laura W.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And the line where it says, he was just where he had left off at 30. And that reminds me of the theory that active addiction pushes the pause button on your emotional maturity. And, society has expectations of what adult conduct, looks like. And it's being aware of others and carrying responsibility well and being able to curb your actions when you look at the consequences. And, as addicts, our emotional growth, was stunted when we started using, and we held on to our immature behaviors and attitudes and stayed like selfish children, thinking the world is all about me. And so this man was able to stop using and pursue, his goal of financial success, but he was probably just a dry drunk. He probably never dealt with his emotional issues. So when he started drinking again, he was an immature addict again. And, it looks like he was able to carry the responsibilities of being an adult, holding a job, having a home, saving money for retirement, et cetera. But later on, he realized he didn't have the ability to stop. Early on, his drive for financial success gave him the willingness to look at the consequences of his drinking, and make another choice. But later, after he had already arrived, he had success, and he probably felt he deserved to enjoy his retirement years the way he wanted, indulging his addictive substance. And he lost his motivation to continue being a functioning member of society. And, the text says that there must be no reservation or lurking notion, that someday I will be immune. And, I used to think that, if I was given a death sentence, that I would lose my motivation, and I would pick up my substance. But now I know that, when my time is close to meeting my maker, I don't want to turn to a substance. It would be crucial in that time to hear clearly any last-minute directives, my maker has for me. And sometimes I wonder what it would be like if I get Alzheimer's. I have clients who have Alzheimer's, and they've repressed their desire to overeat their whole life. And when their brain no longer works right, they lose their inhibitions and they gain a lot of weight. And, they only want to eat sweets. And I'm just praying that if that happens to me, that my caregivers will honor my food plan and my commitment to healthy eating. But I guess I just have to leave that in God's hands. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Next, we've got Laura W., followed by Chanel T.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. It says we have seen the truth. There's so many warnings and there's so many promises in this book. But the truth for me is once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And they use the word must so many times in the first 164 pages. And the first 100, they were very humble people, I believe, just from what I've read and from what I've studied. And they didn't like to tell us that we had to do anything, but they used the word must so many times. And it's like, well, there must be no reservation. Well, it's not telling us that we must have no reservations, but if we're planning to stop drinking, there must be. So, that someday we will be immune to alcohol. I'm allergic to penicillin, and I got a horrible fever and a rash when I was about 3 years old. My mom told me when I got sick, and they gave me penicillin, and I've never had it since. And I had a rash and all this stuff. And I had a sinus infection earlier in the year, and I went to the doctor, and they said, well, I might give you this. I said, well, remember, I'm allergic to penicillin. And they're like, well, what happened to you? I said, well, I don't remember. You know, I was 3 years old, but I was told. And they said, oh, okay. And they didn't give me penicillin because they know I'm allergic to penicillin. Now, even though I haven't had it in 40-something years, they're not going to give me penicillin. And why in the, you know, do addicts think, well, you know what, I haven't had it. I've been clean and sober for so long. Maybe I can, you know, do moderation. Maybe I can do intuitive eating. And for me, I'm speaking only for myself, that does not work. That's a slow suicide for me. The disease convinces me over and over again that I am once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. And, you know, I'm just grateful to know that today. And I've been abstinent and in recovery for almost 20 years. But when I did relapse about 22 years ago, it wasn't like I just slowly picked up. I was like off to the races, eating my drug of choice, and then restricting and starving myself and over exercising. I could not believe it. I'm like banging my head on the bar, wondering how I got there. Well, how I got there is because I'm an addict, and you know. I'm not going to pick up. I'm going to pick up right where I was before. So I'm grateful for this reminder today, and just for keeping it green, and to know that there is a solution. And I thank God. I thank my higher power every day for giving me one more day of recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Laura W. from New Jersey. Next, we've got Chanel P. followed by Joan Marie M.
Hi, thank you so much, Chanel T in Washington State. Wow, I'm grateful to live in recovery today by the grace of God. Permanent, progressive, and if left untreated, fatal. That's this disease. And, you know, the man of 30 is something I don't ever want to forget. I don't want to forget it about myself. And please let me never forget my step one experiences, because I am powerless. And that helps me to know that even though I'm I have a higher power, I have a treatment. Glaucoma was something that came to mind as I was thinking about this this paragraph. Glaucoma is something my granddad had, and it's a group of eye disorders. And if left untreated, it leads to blindness in most of them, if not all. And, you know, that's a pretty grim. Warning, but it can be, can't be cured. To my knowledge, they don't have a cure for glaucoma. Don't come after me if that's not true. But you know what I'm saying, right? This is something where I have a cure, but I can have a daily reprieve through my treatment. But for me, in my mind, my disease will tell me the truth. Well, you've been absent for 18 months today. And then it'll tell me a bunch of lies about how we'll see. You know, you really are okay. You could have a little more of this. You could occasionally have that little bit of ice cream. You could occasionally. I have to remember that I have a disease and that I have an allergy and I cannot eat those things ever again. I don't want to. I want this freedom. There's nothing that was in any of that that compares to the freedom I have today. That's not where I intended to go with this share, but that must be where it was supposed to go. Anyway, I am so grateful for this program and this plan of action. It's an actual plan of action that tells me a design for living, how to live. And it involves my higher power in a way that I never allowed my higher power to be in my life before. So I'm just very grateful for this meeting, for this book, for this program, and for recovery. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Chanel T. from Washington State. Next, we've got Joan Marie M., followed by Janice P.M. And Joan Marie, if you can hit star one to unmute, please.
Morning. I was talking away here. Thank you, everyone, for your shares, moderator. Thank you so much. That I get so much. I want to go to the first, beginning the first page of Alcoholics Anonymous. There are thousands of men and women who have recovered from alcoholism. And that's a promise, right in the very beginning, that's a promise. But through my journey through the steps, I had to smash the idea that I could eat like a normal eater, that I could eat my alcoholic foods without having the phenomenal of craving kicking in. It doesn't kick in until I pick up the first bite, just like the alcoholic that picks up the first drink. It's the same thing for me. I can go to an AA open meeting and relate totally. So for me, I need to keep on doing what I'm doing by the grace of God and the power of God, having that connection sharp today. It was null and void when I put the food in front of the God of my understanding, who has all power, and I have none against that first bite. So I have to keep on telling myself, I have to keep on remembering, I have to keep on listening to all of you. And there's warnings after warnings, and then there's that solution. I want to stay in the solution. I want to be happy, free, and joyous today. And how do I get that? By doing what I did to begin with, so that I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. And before we go to our next person, I want to let you know where we are, if you're just joining us, where on page 33 in the big book, and we read the first full paragraph beginning with, "This case contains," ending with, "that someday we will be immune to alcohol." We read that paragraph and we're just sharing on our experience with that this morning. And so with that, we will go to Janice PM, followed by Sherry Z.
Well, thank you so much. My name is Janice PM, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Boy, was I this man. Only I'm a woman, and the same thing happened to me. I was young. I had a business. I had a daycare center. And I said, around 54, 55, I'm going to retire. I'm going to sell the business and, I'm going to take care of myself. And I did a lot of spree eating and other behaviors. But I said, then I'll make the decision that I'll take care of myself. Like, I won't eat this. I thought that's because I worked too hard. I didn't have enough time. It was my husband. But, I didn't realize. I mean, even though I started at age 8 playing picnic with peanut butter and crackers with my brother, with a blanket on the floor of the home, because my mother worked and I was with the nanny, and I wanted it for comfort, and I thought I was always searching to be comfortable, and that was my solution, food. But of course, we know if I am truly a compulsive overeater, it's a chronic disease. And you know what? This disease, I'm going to say it again, is permanent, which means if I'm Humpty Dumpty and I fall off the wall, I can't put it back together again, which means once an alcoholic, once a compulsive overeater, I can't go back. And even when I'm not eating, it's permanent. We think, once I stop eating this and I'm abstinent and recover, for a year, I should be able to do it. Well, no, because this is insidious. My disease is insidious. That's my mental obsession. And that's progressive. It goes on and it gets worse and worse. Even when I don't eat and even when I'm doing good, it's progressive. It progresses to other behaviors and other illnesses. It went to gambling. It went to Al-Anonic. It went to all kinds of things. It's progressive into other illnesses, I'm telling you. So it's all about managing that decision. And you know what else it is? It's patient. Wait. Just wait, Janice. going to happen to me. I'm not a diabetic. That's why they don't eat this and that. Well, guess what? I was eligible too. I became a diabetic. See, it's patient. It waits like a snake in the shrubbery, waiting to attack me. And it does come if I pick up and I don't keep in fit spiritual condition, because that mental obsession, I could not make a decision. And I really thought, see, that's where it comes from, the thinking first, and of course, self-discipline. Yeah, sure, would qualify me. But of course, we know the ones that continue, there's no pill, there's no shot that is going to take it away. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Janice PM in Massachusetts. And Sherry Z, you're up next.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California. When I read the big book, I like to look at the words and then also the blank spaces. And while it says that he put down the drink, it doesn't say that he wasn't crazy. Yes, to the external world, he looked like he was fine. But my experience is the mental twist can make me think that I can sponsor my dog and I don't need to sponsor other people, right? The mental twist all those years manifested in ways that they don't describe in the book, maybe with workaholism or compulsivity or how he spoke to his wife, because putting down the food was the first gate for me. And for so many years in these rooms, I really thought if I put down the food, I would be sane. And that was the lie. The lie was I put down the food so I can work the steps so that I can be sane. And today, what I realized from the man of 30 is he picked up because there was the mental twist was alive and well all those years. Like the disease was alive and well. It just wasn't manifesting with alcohol. And I know I was born with this disease. I just know it because the mental is, I can remember from when I was little. My first memories of were debating, should I tell the secret? Should I not tell the secret? Should I, you know, that anxiety, that fear, what if I'm found out? What if I'm a fraud? You know, all those things. And so this man of 30 reminds me that putting down the food is just the first gateway. And then comes this putting down all the behaviors and the insanity that makes me a compulsive overeater. And today, that is a work in progress. I mean, again, I don't want to sponsor another person. Today, I want to sponsor my dog. I want to legitimize X or Y because I have a disease. There is no why, my parents, this, that, the other. I don't really care. It's because I have a disease. And there's one solution, and it's God. And this morning, I just have to share, I pray every morning, and I had forgotten that I was going to be doing service. And I literally prayed. I said, God, help me set aside everything I think I should be doing today. And God literally said to me, but first, get on the meeting and do service. So I have a God acting literally assertively in my life, and I'm so grateful. So thank you all. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry Z from California. And we'll get another lineup. Please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Jetta from Reno.
Wendy M.
Jetta.
Wendy M.
Got you, Wendy. Got you.
Jetta from Reno.
Israel.
I heard someone from Israel. Who was that?
Reuven.
Okay, got you.
Dina A.
I probably can take one more.
Jetta from Reno.
I've got you, Jetta. Yeah, I already got you.
Okay.
In this group.
Never hear on that.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, I've got Jetta, Wendy M, Reuven, and Dina A. Please let us know where you're calling from, and we'll start with Jetta, followed by Wendy M.
Hi, I'm Jetta from Reno.
I am fairly new to the group, but I just wanted to share that I've learned so much from today's reading that once you're an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I think it is true because I have watched over my life. My eating. I'm a product of Clean the Plate Club. I was not allowed to get up from the table until I ate all my food. So I learned to ignore the signs of when you go the sigh to tell you that you are done eating, that I've learned to ignore that over the years. And so when I moved out of the house, there was no pause for my eating. I could eat through an entire box of mac and cheese. I could eat through whatever I wanted. It was like a buffet because there was no control. The control had been taken out. So as I grew, so did my body. I had a come to Jesus moment in the parking lot at the gym about a year ago. And the solution that God brought to me was OA. And through OA, I've learned to quit hiding. I quit with my sponsor identifying myself as an isolate. Yes, I like my house. It's a cozy place. I'm a busy mom, so when I get to be home, it's nice. But I've learned to quit identifying myself as an isolate. I started breaking down those walls. And I just have to say it is progressive and it is fatal. And if we don't stop, if we don't have a higher power helping us to stop eating, like, no, you don't need more than the serving size. If it says it's a half a cup, that is what you have. You don't have more. You can have less, but you don't need to take more. That is one. That is a limit. There's limits on the packages of food. This is your limit, like a speed limit. If it says 65, you don't go 75 or 80. There's a reason for those limits. And so I've grown in my relationship with the Lord. I now am in service at church. Through that service, I became a leader. So now I'm one of the heads on this group. And I don't think if I had not joined OA, I wouldn't have these opportunities that have been presented by God to me. And, you know, your shares here in this group are very valuable and wonderful. So I just have to say thank you to each person who has shared, to all who are of service. Just know that you're reaching so many and impacting so many lives. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jetta. And what was your last initial? Okay. Well, Jetta from Nevada. Next, we've got Wendy M., followed by Rubain.
Hi, yeah, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Stephanie, thank you so much for leading us this morning. Wonderful. So I first want to say that this whole chapter is about our thinking, right? It's that insanity, right? And it's promised that we're going to be returned to sanity. And one of my favorite words in this chapter, two words, lurking and notion, right? This whole paragraph is about our thinking. And that's really at the root of the trouble. My lurking notion comes in many forms. I exercised a lot today, so I probably need more food, but I'm not sure how much, but I'll just guess, right? That's a lurking notion. Like, that's a good idea. That makes total sense. You know, being the author of our own food, being the author of our own life, right? That's insane. Another one was I got super skinny on a liquid diet for 3 weeks. I think my grandmother cried. She was so happy. And or was it my aunt? Anyways, a relative just cried because I got skinny. And I literally like bought a box of candy and made the decision that it makes sense because I'm skinny, that I can eat the candy, you know, with no problem. And I will say this too, that another lurking notion is when you lose the weight, it can be like, right, like because the disease is in my voice, it's like, you're thin now, I'm pretty sure we can eat most anything. And that's a really powerful one, like, you know, because that's where we come from. That's the insanity that all of us come from. I've arrived. I made it. I got skinny. I'm pretty sure I can eat whatever the hell I want. So how do we get out of this? You know, because it says here, I rewrote this, commencing to think after a period of sobriety, we're in a short time as bad as ever. Or if we are planning to stop thinking, there must be no reservation whatsoever, no lurking notion. Or for a long stretch, we could think normally, you know. So the disease is in my voice, and so it sounds right. And the disease also wants to, like my head wants to fix my head, and it can't do that. It just can't do that. So what is the solution? How do I course correct, right? How do I get to that sanity, returning to sanity, right? That neutrality with the food, you know, and all you have to do is just do whatever the next guy did. Like I just found somebody who has recovery and I just do what she does. I don't think. I keep saying this. Do not think. Stop thinking. Thinking is not helpful. We can see that in this chapter. What's helpful is doing, right? So every single day I do a lot of stuff to course correct. I do a lot of stuff so that I don't fall into this, you know, insane thinking, right? Insane eating, yeah, insane justification. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wendy M. from Colorado. Next, we've got Ruben, followed by Dina A.
Hi. Thank you, everybody, for your service and everybody sharing. My name is Ruben H. from Israel, recovered compulsive overeater. This paragraph, like so many, is, you know, I'm just learning from it, and I need to keep on learning from it over and over again. This follows the last paragraph where it's a strange thing. There are two things that stand out to me. One is just the word carpet slippers. When I think of the guy putting on the carpet slippers and lying back and I'm retired, that I can coast and I can do what I want. And I stopped once, so I can stop again. Wow, it's a powerful trick that this disease, this condition has for me and entices me into thinking. And that occurs to me at times. In terms of how I am just, you know, being more lackadaisical in what I'm doing and not keeping the primary focus on working this program. And the other part of it that strikes me again is he decided, we who do like what the circumstances he did, what I was able to do, and this lure and this thing that, and when it said that, you know, that he could not get what he once had. And you know, the thinking comes out in my actions. It comes out in my actions. So I notice that in my morning, I really need to, that I am dependent on a higher power, this condition is telling me. It's not dependent on me. It's dependent on we working together. But I need to do this, and I'm working on right now being of more service by being more available for people in recovery and otherwise. But there is no immunity from this. You say, you know, this is a man who doesn't know that I have a fatal, incurable illness. I have a fatal, incurable condition, and it makes me different. It's a, you know, it makes me different. And, you know, again, I just that I haven't thought lately as much about smashing the idea that was so powerful that I read once before, and need to smash the idea. And also, in terms of doing service, lastly, you know, I spoke with my sponsor about how I felt I was getting sloppy. And my sponsor says, what do you mean by that? Why are you telling me that? And I said, well, I'm just kind of letting you know. I want to let you know this is how I identify myself. So it's like, you know, like, listen, we are self-centered people. We don't
living
want to
time.
Take action and be of service. So stay out of self and in service. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. And next up, we've got Dina A. And Dina, please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, good morning. Dina E. from New Jersey. Thank you so much for doing service. Thank you so much to everyone on this line, keeping this meeting going all those days that I just call in and listen to recordings. So I'm grateful, though I don't really want to be on live sharing. I'm grateful that I am on live sharing. So for me, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. This past almost year, listening to vision meetings has just totally smashed home the idea that I am an alcoholic. I am a compulsive eater. I've been in OA for 12 years. Always having a bit of that reservation, that lurking notion that I'm not exactly as compulsive eater as other people because I came in with a pretty high bottom and I only had 20 pounds to lose. And always that lurking notion, but if I want to stay stopped and if I want to be sober emotionally, physically, chance to do the spiritual work that is transforming my life. So I've been all proud of myself identifying in everywhere. And as I'm taking sponsees through the big book now and they're reading, and one sponsee is reading about different types of alcoholics and thinking, I wonder which one I am. And I'm like, well, I'm every single one. Identifying in. So here's another great one for me. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. I recently was sick last week and couldn't eat anything for a day or so. And then came in this feeling, besides for feeling absolutely horrible and miserable, this feeling of comfort and ease that I used to get from restricting. And I was like, oh no, like here it is. Like I was really scared about that. So I did some program work. And connected to higher power and, you know, thank you God it passed and I've been back feeling well and back to myself. But it could have the same effect as eating too much. And even though it was beyond my control and it's still abstinent, seeing that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. When I used to only identify as a compulsive eater and think that when I was restricting, I was managing it and I was doing amazing. What it really is another part of the same disease, and neither of them helpful and neither of them recovered and neither of them allowing me the life of connecting to higher power and changing myself, my relationships, my life experience, same life, totally different experience. I'm so grateful for it. I wouldn't want to give it up for anything, not for any food in the world and not for any body weight in the world. So today I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Oh, perfect, perfect timing. Dina A. from New Jersey. We have time for like a 1 minute. Does anyone have a burning desire and want to share for 1 minute?
Loreen W.
Actually, now.
Candy M. Susan in California.
Okay. There was one person, but the clock just turned to 7:48. Who was the first person?
Loreen W.
California.
Loreen W. is who I heard first. So, Loreen, just take a minute, please.
Hi, this is Loreen W. from Massachusetts, and I am a compulsive overeater. I want to thank everybody for sharing today. This is a paragraph like I almost couldn't believe that somebody would be abstaining for 30 years and then get back into the disease. And yet, how many times prior to program did I do that through dieting? Oh, my goodness. I just thought once I dieted, you know, so one of the programs, losing over 110 pounds and gaining it all back and then some, did it over and over again till I came to OA. And thank you, God, for OA, because today I have abstinence. I have abstinence that I don't want to lose, and I want to be thankful to God and my higher power and to all of you, because Visions for You has helped me considerably, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Loreen W. from Massachusetts, and we'll now close the meeting. with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Sherry Z, can you please read a vision for you?
Yes, thank you, Stephanie. I'm Sherry. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. And if, Lorene, if you could please mute, we can still hear you. Star one, please. And Sherry, go for it.
Sherry Z recovered in Southern California, and this is page 164 of the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.